welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders Podcast Series. The goal of this podcast is to bring semiconductor experts together to get to the truth about the matter at hand. We'll get right to the point and not exceed 30 minutes of your time. If you have a topic you would like us to cover, please post it on semiwiki.com and we'll get right to it. Hello, my guest today is Krishna Sethalluri, co-founder and CEO of Blue Cheetah. Krishna received his PhD in electrical engineering from UC Berkeley and master's and bachelor's from MIT. He specialized in design automation of high-speed silicon photonic links using analog generator technology. Krishna has worked at Apple, Google, Caltech, and has consulted for multiple startups. Welcome, Krishna.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
Yep. So before we get started on chiplets, tell us how you first came to semiconductors.
Sure. Yeah, I give all kudos to my dad. My dad was an engineer, electrical engineer, and has been in the semiconductor space for some time. He was a professor at Oregon State for a number of years, and that's where I grew up in Corvallis, Oregon. And during my middle school and high school years is when I started playing around more and more with computers and electronics, and I did some little internships as well during my high school where I was creating these electronic systems for various applications. And that's kind of the seedling, right? That's really where things started. And then shortly after that, at my undergrad and master's and so on, that's where I really started to hone in and started to get into the integrated circuit side and developing circuits, which I really found to be my main area of interest.
Well, you picked a good time for it. I don't think there's been a more exciting time in semiconductors. I'm getting close to my 40th year in the industry, and it's incredibly exciting. And I think chiplets is one of the exciting topics. It's definitely a trending topic on SemiWiki. So let's get started with chiplets. So first, what are chiplets and why are they gaining popularity?
Sure. So chiplets at a high level are kind of exactly what they sound like, right? They are specialized circuit blocks or little chiplets that are tied together and talk to other chiplets through these things called chiplet interfaces, right? And they all are on a common packaging fabric, right? And so the concept for chiplets has been around for quite some time. Actually, even Gordon Moore, the famous Gordon Moore, has envisioned and thought about chiplets and how kind of the growth of the chiplet ecosystem, especially towards the tail end of Moore scaling, right? Chiplets and the philosophy associated with chiplets, I would say, is slightly different from the traditional system-on-chip based design philosophy, right? Where for traditional SoC-based designs, people look at having a singular large piece of silicon, right? A large piece of silicon, usually on an advanced bleeding edge kind of technology node, right? But chiplets are different because now you have kind of these smaller, more specialized blocks, again, on a common kind of packaging fabric, right? And so there are a number of benefits to why people are looking at chiplets, things like flexibility, right? Where you can now develop these individual chiplets and configure them in their own unique way, and you can choose the appropriate PDK or technology node for each of these chiplets. Another benefit, for instance, is die disaggregation, right? Where now you can have different iteration times for different chiplets, and you can have one thing kind of stay the same while the rest of your chiplet-based system is kind of improving or iterating at a different rate, right? And obviously, cost is another huge benefit, right? Because now you have smaller chiplets, they have higher yields, right? But and on top of that, because they're not just on a singular large piece of silicon on an advanced bleeding node, you can have different chiplets on different technologies, and overall the cost starts to go down, right? And so all of these reasons, again, they've been around for quite some time, and even recently with the advancements that people are making on the packaging side of things, the chiplet ecosystem is growing fantastically, right? Especially over the past 2-3 years, the year-over-year growth has been astronomical. It's been very, very strong, and we envision that growth to continue on, right, well into the next decade. So it's a very exciting time to be in the chiplet space and the chiplet ecosystem.
Yeah, to me, I agree completely. To me, chiplets mean you can design faster, cheaper, you know, less time, less resources, and that means more design starts. So, you know, I'm a huge fan of chiplets, but, you know, it's still a little bit complicated when you talk about the interfaces in between the chiplets. So tell us a little bit more about the current state of chiplet interfaces and what really needs to be done.
Sure. So, you know, chiplet interfaces at a high level are, you know, again, it's the language or the standards that you need to communicate between various chiplets, right, on this kind of packaging fabric, right? And so the key thing here is that the chiplet interface space is ever evolving. Even the chiplet ecosystem itself is ever evolving, right? But if you were to just pause and take a snapshot of the interface space right now, the best way to describe this space, I would say, is like a wild, wild west, right? Yeah. Where there are multiple standards that are popping up kind of all over the place with, you know, each standard being pushed by different players and targeted for different application spaces. And each one is trying to kind of step over and really try to win in this area, right? But frankly, you know, I don't think that there's going to be one winner, right? I mean, there might be multiple standards or even multiple configurations of a standard that might ultimately win based on whatever application space the end user is kind of targeting, right? And so, you know, when it comes to these chiplet interfaces, if you were to, again, look at this snapshot, I would say that people, and again, BlueChute has been looking at this for quite some time, but I would say that right now, people are gravitating towards kind of the lower overhead, simpler types of PHYs and interfaces, right? And there's a whole, you know, set of reasons on why that is. But people are going towards kind of the low overhead, low latency, simpler type of PHY solutions. And actually, for that matter, there's a standard called BOW, which stands for bunch of wires. And the standard itself is exactly what it sounds like. It is a bunch of wires. It is meant to be a low low overhead, simple type of PHY that enables end customers to kind of, or users to be able to configure and add whatever they need based and tailor it based on exactly their end application. And so BOW from our recent studies is starting to gain some healthy momentum and healthy traction. But even within BOW or BO, we are seeing different folks with interest in different configurations, right? Some people want one orientation, some people want a different one, you know, others want a certain number of channels or a certain bump pitch and whatnot, right? And so again, this is a quick snapshot of how the ecosystem looks like. But, you know, I think one very important point to make on all of this is, you know, how do we get out of this wild, wild west situation, right, in this chiplet interface space, right, and get to kind of a new era where there's a little bit more stability and known solutions, right? And I think the way that that happens is not only by having working silicon, but also with a solution that rapidly enables interfaces, right, rapidly enables kind of the configurations that folks are requesting in the various orientations and whatnot, doing that in a quick manner while still being silicon proven and having the reliability and PPA, I think is the necessary gate that opens in order to kind of migrate from this wild, wild west into the new era, right?
Yeah, you know, I see it at two different parts. I see the proprietary technology and then more the open source technology. Mm-hmm. And, you know, open source almost always wins, right? So I just hope we can focus on that and keep moving it forward and come to some, you know, agreement of how chiplet interfaces are going to be implemented. But
absolutely.
So let's talk a little bit about BlueCheetah. You guys are all about generators. Tell us, what are generators and how do generators fit with the chiplet interfaces?
Sure. So, you know, BlueCheetah, you know, we've been working on generators for quite some time. Generators at a high level are basically pieces of code that our designers write that capture the way that they go about designing circuits traditionally, but in the form of these executable scripts or executable generator scripts, right? And so in doing so, the key benefits is that now you, instead of doing things kind of at the traditional rate, the hand, you know, manual speeds, you are doing things at the rate of software, right? And on top of that, these generators are written in such a way that you can actually feed in particular parameters into the generators and produce new sign-off quality designs much, much quicker than ever before. The speed of software as opposed to manual design, right? Now, one of the key differentiators to how we go about with this generator technology is that we believe in putting our designers front and center in the design process, right? So generators are not, doing analog automation or auto place and routing or trying to replace the designers. But instead, the way that we look at it is that these, the generators and the API and software that we provide, it makes our designers far more efficient, right? And so as a result of it, what happens is that the generators that we write at Blue Cheetah are as good, and they're only as good as the designers that write them. And so thankfully at Blue Cheetah, we have some exceptional designers who've been doing, interfaces and circuit design for well over a few decades now. And so what happens is when we have the best minds developing generators, what happens is you get the best of both worlds, right? You get the performance benefits because you have some of the best designers creating these blocks. So we have aggressive PPA, but on top of that, you have the benefits of generators, right? You are going at the speed of software, the rapid design, the configurability, all of that unlocks as well, right? And so part of why generators and chiplet interfaces are kind of a hand in glove fit, it's a huge synergy that kind of exists there, right? Chiplet interfaces, first and foremost, are an analog and mixed signal type of blocks, right? And so our generators are tailored towards analog and mixed signal solutions, right? And so what happens is, for all the reasons that I talked about before, where they're, requests for varying configurations or orientations or whatnot, now with generators, those things just simply become parameters, right? They become parameters that we can simply input into kind of our generators and be able to produce unique interfaces and unique variants much, much quicker than ever before.
Interesting. Yeah, I do have experience with generators from a little bit of time ago, and very predictable, very automated. So it'd be interesting to see how they work in this application. So where are your generators at? Do you have working silicon or tape outs? What stage are you at?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have, we've been leveraging our generators for various designs, and we've actually had a number of tape outs and silicon wins over the past couple of years. We've, for instance, we've developed generators AIB, right? So AIB is Intel's die-to-die or chiplet level protocol. And so we've shown successful silicon operation there and taped out multiple times after that. We've also taped out LPDDR 4X interfaces, which are memory interfaces. And actually what's exciting there is that these PHYs are actually in lab right now as we speak. And thankfully, knock on wood, things are looking great. There's more testing to do, but so far things are looking great, right? But the key is that all of our wins have once again leveraged the underlying generators and the API and methodologies that we've been working on for quite some time now.
Interesting. Yeah, I've read about you guys on SemiWiki. We've covered you guys, but tell me, what's next? What does the future hold for Blue Cheetah and your vision for the semiconductor industry?
Sure. So, I would argue that all of the silicon wins and the work that we have done in our generator framework and the API and whatnot, it sets a fantastic foundation for us to really leap forward. And the way that we leap forward is what we call as BlueLinx. BlueLinx is Blue Cheetah's parameterized generator of state-of-the-art chiplet interfaces. And so once again, BlueLinx is based off of the core generator API, and at a high level, it takes in key parameters as inputs. Some of the ones that I was just listing here, right? Things like orientation, the number of channels, bump pitch, and so on and so forth, takes those as inputs and rapidly produces state-of-the-art power performance and area pushing interface IP, right? And so this interface IP is kind of standard interface, right? It's the you know, standard interface IP and collateral in the form of, you know, netlist, GDS, lef, lib behavioral models, et cetera, right? And so once again, we think that this is really the intercept and what is necessary to push the chiplet interface and the chiplet ecosystem at large into the next phase, right? A phase where you can really grow and expand, and you don't have the design hurdles and activation energy that you traditionally have with, you know, with trying to get silicon solutions, right? So we really view BlueLinx as the disruptor in this space, and the start of a lot of great things for Blue Cheetah and for the semiconductor ecosystem at large.
That's great. So where can we find out more? You're based in San Francisco, I'm told, and you have your website is bcanalog.com.
That's right. Yeah. So certainly our website is a great place to start. It has a good summary of the core information. There's also some online portals where if you'd like to get in touch with one of our representatives at Blue Cheetah, we would absolutely be happy to speak with you. You can also email info at bcanalog.com if you have any particular questions, and we'll get back to you right away.
Great. This is a good stopping point. Thank you very much, Krishna, for your time. And thank you all for listening. And we'll hope to see you again next week. That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening, and have a great day.